Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? It's Thirsty Thursday. Sangha, I know you're thirsty. Week 35 of 50. Just revving. The session plus scoreboard check. It's 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday, August 31st. I'm at the Sahara for an organized game of 5-5-10, which we are going to call 5-5 with a straddle. Why? Because it sounds less intimidating that way. And goddamn it, I don't know why I'm the only poker player in the world who believes this, but less intimidating is better. It's how you get really bad players to dump their money to you. Money they would dump elsewhere if you scared them off. Anyways, I've been at the Sahara for about 2 hours, just chilling in the Kaz Bar. That's a pretty cool bar there with Persuadio and friends. And Persuadio is the unofficial or maybe official poker host at the Sahara. And he's a patron. And I've interviewed him. And you should probably know who he is if you listen to this. Anyways, I've been drinking some Jameson and gingers, trying to make my stomach feel a little bit better. And just talking with these folks. And we're not talking about poker. We're just talking about life. And it's a cool talk. And then finally, I look at my phone. And, oh shit, I only got 3 hours till I got to leave. Because I got a flight in the morning. So that's when I decided I better go take a seat in the hustler game. That's what this game's called. This 5-5-10 game with a 300 minimum, 1500 maximum is called the hustler game. I created it for the hustler in Los Angeles. They're sponsoring this podcast now. I won't be reading ads. I don't do that. And they don't want me to do that. They want me to be me, but I'm going to incorporate them into the story because I go up there to commentate 1 week every month. And I want to help them use some of my, I want to use some of my wisdom. I've been in this game a long time. I don't think anyone could argue that I'm not a master at building games. I've always done it unpaid. For different casinos, wherever I went, built a huge fun game. And Hustler is an amazing room. The management is fantastic. Sean Yapel, the GM, is just so open to suggestions and ready to build the business, the poker business. And they're already doing well, but they don't really have bigger action. And so they need a bridge from the smaller action to the bigger action, which obviously the new show Hustler Casino Live is going to bring in some big action, but you need a bridge to get there. And this game, 5-5 with a mandatory straddle, is the bridge. It combines player pools. It combines the people that play in the Rake Fest that you just can't beat and people who like to play a little bit bigger where you can beat the Rake. And I don't know. So I wanted to try it out here at the Sahara. I want to support the Sahara when I can too. They don't pay me anything, no. But Persuadio is a patron. I want to help him out when I can. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing how it works. I think it'll work great. I know it's nothing earth-shattering. Is that the way you say that? Maybe. But it's significant. Lowering the minimum buy-in just from 50 big blinds, I think that's normal for five. Well, actually, I don't know how many 5-5-10 games there are, but making it small enough that anyone can play and big enough that you can also beat the Rake, but not uncapped where the, you know, the bad players who run good will die quick. Nah, if bad players run good, they're going to win. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing how it works. And we're going to start out with a roll call. It's 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday, August 31st. And this is my fourth session in 4 nights. And the first one was in Oceanside, California on Saturday night. Then I flew to Vegas and I didn't even, you know, I just went straight to dinner and then straight to the Venetian, started off there. And that was swingy. ended up at the Encore. You heard about that last week. That was last week's session. And then the next night, I played at the Bellagio, a bigger game, and Patron's heard about that. And now this is the night after that. So I've been going hard. I'm a 47-year-old man. I used to be able to do this all the time, no problem. When I was younger pro, now it wears on me. I'm a little, I'm on fumes to start this session. But let's start with a roll call of who the players are in this game. They've been playing for a couple hours before I got my seat. I could have got a seat at any point, but I just kind of wanted to chill at the Kaz Bar for a little bit. I've been working very hard, not just in poker, this podcast, and poker rags, and so on. So, seat one is Not Black Gary. What does that mean? There's a pretty legendary character in the Los Angeles poker world named Black Gary. This guy looks like him, but it's not him. So, his name is Not Black Gary. Seat two is the Therapist, and that's somebody I've played with a few times at the Sahara. I've gone there several times, mainly to support Persuadio's ventures, and also because I believe in it. It's $5 time collection. That's fucking insane. And I know how important that is to a poker player having low rake. And anyways, this guy's been in the game several times. I believe it might be one of Persuadio's poker students. And he plays well, and he's a therapist in real life. So he's the Therapist. Seat three is your protagonist, Dragon Man, on fumes. So what? Seat four is a really cool kid that I'm just meeting for the first time named Matt Vaughn. He's a vlogger. I've seen a couple of his vlogs. I also saw him play on Poker Out Loud. That's a Solve for Why thing where they wear headphones and they listen to music and they play against each other. And then after every street they're involved in, they hit pause on their headphones and they talk about their thought process. My friend Trevor Savage was in that game, so I watched some of it, and Matt Vaughn was in there, and I saw him going for it, I believe, more than anyone else in that game. And anyways, I'm just meeting him for the first time. Seems like a cool kid. Seat 5 is Phil Ivey, I think. So you can't see seat 5. Has a hat low, sunglasses, mask on. I have no idea what this person looks like, but you'll see why I named them Phil Ivey, I think, soon. Seat 6, another legendary character in the poker world, Rich Alotti. Used to have the nickname Scumbag Rich. He was a kid. He was playing. He was a hustler. He was playing in poker rooms before he was old enough on a fake ID. His name used to be something else, Jared, I think. And he's growing up. He doesn't do scummy stuff at the table. He's very funny. He's trying to shed that nickname. And I've been playing with him forever. And he's, you know, taking the right steps. He's good for the game. And, he's fun to play with. Seat 7, some cool young pro. So there are new pros that I can't stand. The smug ones, the ones that take forever, the ones that think they're, you know, amazing because they've been sun running and they have no idea they've been sun running. And then there's the cool ones that are just, they're just, you know, they still have the backpack and whatnot, but they're cool. And this guy, I never even got his name, but he's one of those. Seat 8 is RR. This is some awesome dude named RR. And seat 9 is the low stakes reg. So this is the exact reason why you play, you make the structure a small minimum buy-in. I've had this conversation so many times over the years. People wondered why Commerce 1020 always went, was going around the clock, got all the action. And aside from it being in a great spot, is the minimum buy-in was $600, 30 big blinds. And people would be like, I hate short stacks. And they can be annoying in a hand, right? But it's not like online where people can actually short stack for a living. Because what do you do if you double up? You can't just sit out and come back in for the min buy-in. They don't let you. You got to wait an hour, hour and a half. Online, you just go to another table if you have to or whatever. So it's not even feasible to be a live short stacker. It's just not, because you get your double and then what, right? It's you can't play anymore. So you can't put any volume in. So, and it can be annoying if you're battling with someone else who's kind of deep and the short stacker knows how to play a short stack. And, you know, and just gets it in good all the time. But what they are is unpaid props. They're They're the reason the game is still open for when the real whale, like at Commerce 1020, I used to, you know, I would be playing, you know, and it'd be like me and JJ Commerce, who was a short stacker. He'd buy him for 600 every time, right? And like, you know, you're trying to spew it off with, you're trying to battle with someone deep and you have to like double this guy up every so often and you stack him sometimes and whatever. And then, but the game is going because of these guys that are allowed to buy in for very short and they want to take a shot. They want to, I've seen someone turn $300 into 40K. So that's a real possibility. It's unlikely, but it's possible. And that's why the game's going. And then suddenly some guy comes in and he's got envelopes from the bank, and he's in. Now you're going to win a bunch of money because the game was going. Where if these short, you know, min buyers weren't allowed to play, the game would have been down, and this person would have gone to baccarat. So, yeah, I don't know. And this, so seat nine is someone that probably plays at like the $300 buy-in level around town, right? Well, now he's playing 5-5 with a mandatory straddle, which is really 5-5-10. Okay. And so I'm just getting dealt out, as they say, to start. And that means you're getting cards, but they're not really, you know, hands that you could VPIP. And now Rich Elotti leaves right away. And replacing him is the elitist. This guy was funny, I think unintentionally. He was talking about how no one in Nevada has an education. And why would you want to be nice to anyone in Nevada? He was fucking weird, but hilarious. And this is the poker world. I don't think he was trolling. And it's almost funnier that he wasn't. But he's the elitist. And yeah, and he's just confrontational. He's great. And yeah. So I finally get in there. And it's just, you know, I'm the $10, the straddle. And people limp. And I just check. And people check the flop. And then the turn card is a safe card. I just go ahead and bet. And I have two opponents, and they both call. And I just give up. Okay. And then the next hand is called Matt Vaughn giving it away. All caps. So I do weird stuff in my phone when I'm at the table. And I'm thinking, this guy's a vlogger. And so vloggers usually have all caps in their titles. And so I call this Matt Vaughn giving it away. And here's what happens. Okay. So I'm the big blind. Again, I'm the $5. It's 5-5-10. I'm the second five. And it's a limper, and I'm in there. Five more bucks? Sure. I have king, deuce of diamonds. And Matt Vaughn checks his option. Comes king, queen, three, rainbow. And RR is the last person to act. We all check to him, and he forceful bets $30 into maybe 50 or 60. I call. I have top pair, no kicker. And now Matt Vaughn goes to 140. Okay. And RR tanks and folds. And he gets back to me. And what to do? Well, I don't know this guy. I do know he won a tournament recently and got fucked on the payout. So I think he's probably pretty good at poker. I think he goes for it. I could be wrong. I could be thinking about someone else on that Poker Out Loud that goes for it. I don't know. I'm going to call. He doesn't rep a whole lot. Wouldn't hands that would be check raising now be raising preflop a good amount? I don't know. Could this be Jack 10? Could he just be going for a bluff to, you know, open up the game? Did he correctly pick up on that RR was forceful betting last? So that's a weak hand. And that when I flat, okay, I have RRB, but now can I call a raise? I don't know. I decided to call after RR folded. And it turns a jack, and I checked, and now Matt Vaughn bets $240. And I decided to call again. I don't know. And the river's a jack, so the board is king, queen, three, jack, jack. I check, Matt Vaughn checks. He has queen, three, offsuit. So he got rivered, and he actually played the hand well. And that doesn't matter. I wanted to put Matt Vaughn giving it away as the title of this hand, pretending it's a vlog, which is not, because he's a vlogger. And I just met him a few minutes ago, and I want to show him my phone that I wrote that in all caps, Matt Vaughn giving it away. After, you know, he played the hand well, I played it really sticky and got lucky, and, you know, it was not a huge pot, but it's sizable. Yeah, I won a few hundred bucks, and obviously he, you know, but It doesn't matter if someone plays a hand well or not. You got to say they're giving it away if you get there. And I didn't felt like I didn't know him well enough at this point to show him my phone. I didn't know if he would know I was fucking joking. Okay. But it's nice to get home, and it's just one of those tough spots. I should fold the flop, but also if you think your opponent's good or likely good, well, it's clear the guy who took a stab last, forceful stab, doesn't have shit. And for me to flat, I can't call a raise. So I'm at the quote unquote top of my range, whatever. And I decided to just call a couple times, and he got counterfeited. So yeah. What do we got now? Okay. I have Jack 8 of clubs on the button. Someone opens to 20. You'll see this a lot in these games. And you just won't see a bunch of high-level poker going on in games where you combine player pools. And I called 20, and I flopped. And that's okay, obviously. And thank you, Cindy. And Sound Guy, thank you for not interrupting her or trying to steal her line. I appreciate it. What? You want more airtime? Can we talk about it after I'm done recording? Okay. So now the cool young pro that was in the seventh seat, he's gone. And guess who fills his seat? Another cool young pro. So you can be a new pro. All young people are, obviously, unless they've been, playing before they're old enough. And you can be cool. You probably have a lot to learn about being less intimidating. The backpack is intimidating to people. It is, right? And the hand on the shoulder is a little intimidating to people. It shouldn't be, but it is. And staring is definitely intimidating. Well, these guys aren't doing... They have backpack and they look like poker pros. They may want to evaluate that. I've seen a lot of poker pros that were cool that realized, well, why don't I just dress normal? Like, look at... If you ever watch Hustler Casino Live, look how Garrett dresses. He looks like a normal dude. He's playing better than any poker pro in LA, but he looks like a normal dude. And he talks like a normal dude. He doesn't talk about poker, and all these people are happy to fucking play with him. And isn't that smart as a poker pro? I'm not sure. But anyways, that was the cool young pro swap. Okay, and now what do we have? King Jack offsuit. Squeeze to $50, and Phil Ivey, I think, limp calls. So it's 5-5-10. He limped. I'm in the blinds. I go to 50. I have a good hand. King Jack offsuit. It comes Queen 10X, and I bet 55. And I think this is just something I don't do normally out of position. I'm just not settled in this game. I didn't play that hand great when Matt Vaughn giving it away hand, but I'm not playing. I don't lead here. No, against sticky opponents, like, out of position. No, I check this particular flop, Queen 10X, with everything. And then, I go to work. If he bets, or if he checks back. Either way, I go to work, but I'm just out of sorts. So I bet, and he called, and the turn was a queen. It's a bad card. I check, and he bet 110, and I folded. And he had to, you have to show one card after you win a hand. So he showed a king. Decent chance we had the same hand. Maybe he had like a king queen. I don't know. Okay. And I can't see him. So he's Phil Ivey, I think, because he's winning every hand he plays. And then I squeeze again and, with a good hand, ace jack, and I whiff the flop and I just check fold. And some people don't want to do the show one card after you win a hand. And I said, you know what? Too bad. And they're saying, like, well, is it a rule? Yeah, it's a fucking rule. You do what everyone at the table wants to do. You just do, or you go to another fucking table, because poker thrives on communal behavior. It does. You all want to straddle? I straddle. You all want to double straddle? I double straddle. And if it's uncomfortable, I just go somewhere else. And it's just the right approach, right? You don't have to appease like a bully, a straddle bully. No, but if everyone wants to do something, you do it. And everyone wants to show one card. Everyone wants to do a small bomb pop for time. You just got to do it. And I'm kind of teaching these new players that's how we do it, right? And they're coming from a different player pool. They're coming from the player pool that plays these $300 buy-in games where you can't beat the rake. You just can't. People are playing awful, but you can't beat the rake. It's just so much rake. And Of course, there are exceptions, but I'm not focusing on those. I'm focusing on the rule that this is a $300 buying game where you actually can beat the rake, because people are going to sit deeper, they're going to play aggressive, and this rake is actually tiny. $5 a half hour, it's insane. It's fucking insane. And so I'm kind of teaching these people, and, you know, sometimes you have to be a little forceful, and sometimes you just have to be smooth, and you just got to, you know, read the room. And I bought in for $1,400, and I'm even. So I don't think I've ever played well here at this era. I've played her several times, and I've always just kind of thought of it as a meetup game and goof around. And I don't think I've ever played well. I've had a few hands I played well, but I don't think I've ever played a session well. And I just wrote, I need to take it more seriously. It's real money. It's just, you know, you think, oh, the Sahara, and so I'm going to goof around. It's with patrons and whatnot usually. Well, it's also real money. I need to play better. And next note is, Phil Ivey is just taking the strongest lines in every hand. And so when someone's taking the strongest lines over and over, it's either one of two things. One, they're just getting dealt monsters and they're mashing, right? Mashing boards. Or they have some chops and they're bluffing. It's almost always the former. Anyways, he finally gets looked up by the therapist. Phil Ivey, I think, does. He's covered. You can't see him. And he has the nuts. So there you have it. The therapist is tilted and leaves. And now Persuadio takes his seat. So now Persuadio is a poker pro and, as mentioned, the host at the Sahara for games. Hit this guy up. It's out of position on Twitter. You want to organize a game in Vegas? He'll give you good rake and a cool, it's a brand new room. And it's sick. It's a good place to meet up. And anyways, and he also runs regular games. Like this one now, the Hustler game, I believe goes on Tuesdays. Anyways, the longer you're in poker, the more you want it to just not be the obvious stuff in hands. I really wanted Phil Ivey, I think, when he got called there, to not have it. Like, oh shit, someone is actually going for it. No, he's just getting run over by the deck and his hands are mashing the boards. And when I called, you know, when I called down Matt Vaughn, when Matt Vaughn giving it away, I just wanted it to be like, oh, he read that guy was weak, that took a stab, and he knows I'm capped at fucking one pair here pretty much, and like, so it's a perfect spot for him to bluff, and it wouldn't have worked if he did that. I called him down, right? And I don't know. I'm just, it's, you know, the more, what, fancy you play, the fancier you want everyone else to be playing, and it's just not how it is, even over time. I opened 6-5 of diamonds, and this is kind of fancy. Everyone calls except for Matt Vaughn, and that means we got, you know, 8-way action. And it comes 7-7 deuce, and it's black, and I have 6-5 of diamonds. And I don't know, it seems like people are weak, and sometimes it just seems like that. And so I got to bet a big size. Someone's going to have a pocket pair, right? But it doesn't seem like anyone has a 7 by the way they checked around. So I bet $100, and why? Because $100 seems like a big amount to people who normally play in games where you can buy them for $300. So, and it gets through. I think RR went in the tank a little bit. He obviously had a little pair. But, you know, if he calls, I'm going to win on the turn most likely. Anyways, got through. And then 7-6 of diamonds. I just had 6-5 of diamonds. Now I got 7-6 of diamonds. And again, I raise and like everyone's in there. And this time I'm just going to try and make a hand. You can't just, you know, bluff the field over and over. And this time the flop, Cindy, this time the flop comes down.
Nothing.
Sound guy, that one was clearly for Cindy. Man, I just complimented you earlier on not interjecting. Okay, but yeah, that's fine. So I bluffed the field with 6-5 of diamonds on 7-7 deuce black, and then I have 7-6 of diamonds. I open, everyone calls, which makes you even wonder if you should be opening these hands against a bunch of short stacks. Maybe not. Maybe you should be limping with this rake structure. And yeah, again, nothing for me on the flop. And you know who won this pot? Phil Ivey, I think. And I know who won the pot. The player's name was Phil Ivey, I think. Covered up, can't see anything. And I wrote, Phil Ivey, I think, has another boat, I think. Didn't see his hand. So, taking these strong lines and, you know, probably just has it every time. all right, I have ace jack of diamonds, and I call 50. This is a, you know, if you're playing deep, you can be three betting a lot. You can't be three betting a lot with short stacks. And, you know, stacks are whack for three betting. It's a great game, but I just call 50 with ace jack of diamonds. And Sangai, please, just let Cindy do this one. Is what I flopped. And that's okay. I'm about even. And, you know, I'll flop something soon. And here we go. Another multi-way bloater. And I have pocket sixes. Just a fucking fantastic hand for this situation. Much better than a suited connection. A suited connector. And pocket sixes, another multi-way. Everyone in for 40 or 50 or whatever. And I flopped. That's right. And that was the spirit of Whitney Houston. In case you didn't know, legends never actually die. They live on forever. And so, what do we got now? Oh, now it's just time to fold every hand. The game is officially popping. You got all these people that never usually play these stakes, playing these stakes, and they're having fun. And the good vibe has been cultivated. Sometimes you got to stand up for the game and say, no, we're doing this. And now it's like, okay, let's have a drink. Cheers, RR, cheers, whatever. And it's sincere. It's just a, you know, you're spending time with people at a table. Let's make the most of it. Let's have fun. And let's create this amazing vibe where people are just punting their stacks off. And that's cool, right? Because they're going to punt them off somewhere in the casino anyways. Might as well be in your poker game. Sometimes they'll get lucky and run it up. And, you know, and you just, you know, you punt off a little bit less than them. And that's how you win in poker and make it fun and all that. And so I'm just folding every hand for a while. And I'm just talking to Persuadio on my right and Matt Vaughn on my left. And I think we're the three pros in the game. And there's a new young pro at the other end of the table. But, you know, we're the ones that have been around a little while. And that kid's pretty cool, too. And then we do a weird thing. It's called the Time Traveler. So I actually fucked up and moved the button. So Persuadio's button got skipped. And then a hand was dealt. And we started playing it and realized it. And so what we did was, after that hand, move the button to the right, give Persuadio his button, and then move it two spots to the left after that hand. So it was like a time traveler. We went forward in time, backwards in time. And in the end, the button was in the right spot the right amount of times. And is that interesting? It seemed really fucking interesting to me at that moment. I was on fumes. I was enjoying cocktails. And I really love stupid shit. So I wrote it in my phone. And I just told you about it. Let me take a sip of this coffee. Sound guy, good job on the coffee. At least you did that well. Okay. Now, I am the 20. Yeah, so sometimes you'll put the 20 on, and it's 5, 5, 10, 20. And people that, you know, that sit down with 300 bucks aren't usually playing 5, 5, 10, 20. And it's not deep. They can't make huge mistakes. But anyways, it folds around to RR. And RR has been, what has he been doing? He's been building a relationship with the chip runner is the best way to say it. Lots and lots of 300s for RR on this night. So he's running horrible, probably. And anyways, he has 500 now. So he must have played a hand well and won 200. And he goes all in. And it's my... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the 20, and I believe Matt Vaughn is the 40. So now we're playing this hand 5, 5, 10, 20, 40. I know I have Matt on my left. It gets back to me. I want to call the 500. You know, it's just a little over 10 big blinds with the 40 on. I have queen jack suited, but I decide to fold. If I have a bankroll, I'll just do it. But also, I do have to worry about the player on my left. And, you know, but I would probably just shove if I had a bankroll. I'm still poor. I have a loan now to help me get through as I build my projects, this podcast, the community I'm building, and my startup and all that. But I decided to fold, and Matt folded. But what if he had a good hand? I would have felt like an asshole And anyways, so RR takes it down and he shows a 7. Remember, we're showing one card and this is a good game, right? And now it's mainly 5-5-10-20. And it's a little too, 5-5-10-20 is a little too big for these stacks. 5-5-10 is perfect because the money needs to go in. We need to start getting the money in. And here we go. 5-5-10-20. So Matt has put the 20 on. I'm the 10. He's on my left. And not black Gary limps. Seems real fucking weak. I'm going to go to $100 here with Jack 8 offsuit. And I'm going to take it down a good amount. Well, Matt Vaughn calls and not black Gary folds. So we got $230 or $40 in the pot. And I have Jack 8 offsuit. And because I'm a luck box, it comes Jack 10 8 with a flush draw. Not fucking bad. I go ahead and lead 105 here into Matt. And, you know, it's less than half. And he calls. And the turn is a great card. It's a red 5. So it's Jack 10 8. And it's like two spades and a club. And I bet, you know, 105 into 140. And he called. So now we have 350 out there. And a red 5 is a great card. And he has a little over 700 in his stack. And I have him covered. And I figure I'm just going to ship it. Why? Because Jack 10 8 two-tone, when you're the preflop raiser, is a... You always flop equity, right? If you have a normal raising hand. I don't. I have Jack 8 offsuit, so I just flopped a monster. But Ace, King, Ace, Queen, Queen, King, Queen, 10, 9. All this shit has equity. So it's a spot where people would bluff all in for about two times the pot. And I did that. He has a little over 700, and the pot's 350. I go all in. And I already know at this point that he's heard my podcast. And so... This is just what a lag does. They just use their spewy image and go all in. And also, it's a great board for it. It reps, you know, two overs in a gutter or open-ended in a small pair a bunch. And he thinks for a while and calls. And he has ace-10 offsuit. So it's jack-10-8, 5. So he needs an ace or a 10, which means I have 89% equity. And we decided to run it twice. And 89% equity is not enough against Matt Vaughn. We chop it up. He hits an ace or a 10 on one of them. So that's fine. I got lucky against him earlier in a smaller pot. This seems fair to me. And now I have ace 10 of clubs. And everyone's in. And the flop comes queen jack 4. And I think I bet small. I was a preflop raiser. And people call. And the turn is a king. Oh, dear Lord. I just made the nuts, and I bet small again, and now Phil Ivey, I think, raises, and he doesn't raise big, and it's a two-pair type raise, and he's deep. He's won all the pots. I'm deep enough. I probably have, you know, whatever, 1,700 in front of me, and he raises, and I'm going to click it back, right? I know he has, like, two pair, and I'm going to click it back, and then I'm going to tank and go all in on the river. Well, the other new pro at the other end of the table goes all in here, which I know he has ace 10 also, and it's bad. I have to, you know, call, and now Phil Ivey, I think, is going to fold his two pair. That's exactly what happened. Okay, so what? I wish he would have just flatted, which, you know, he will in the future. He was worried about getting rivered, but you got to gamble sometimes. I don't know, or maybe he could just click it too. Whatever. So here's my best play. So Phil Ivey, I think, just lost the pot, and now he's going to be more inclined, and I can tell, we haven't seen, like, that many of his hands, he's won a lot without showdown, I can tell he is actually doing some stuff, right, and now he just lost the pot, and now he's, like, a better candidate to look up, right, and, he opens, and people call. I call with 9-8. I defend the 20, and it comes Jack 7-5. It's a great flop. It's a double gutter, and I check, and Phil Ivey, I think, bets, and I just call because I don't think he has anything, right? And so I'm just gonna call, and I'm gonna win on the, you know, later in the hand. Well, I'm a luck box now, and the turn's a 6. I turn the fucking joint. And I check it to him. I don't know anything about this guy. He's covered up. He plays at the Sahara or around town. And so if I'm wrong and he has something, I could check raise here and get his money, because I not right here, but I'll get some here and then the rest on the river. He checks back. He has nothing. He opened and I defended. I might have just been the 10. I don't know. It wasn't that big of a pot. And Jack 7-5, I flopped the double gutter, check, and he bets. It's just weak. I know it. I call and I hit the 6 and I check and he checks back and the river's a 4 and what to do here? I know he has nothing, so he can't call me if I bet, right? Maybe he'll bluff. Nah, people don't take that line. They just give up, right? So I bet really small, an amount no one would ever bet with a straight, right? I want it to look like I have a pair or something weak, and it works. He raises. And so now I've induced him to raise, and now it's like, now I just decide, well, hopefully I was wrong about my read and that he has an 8. And, you know, I knew he had nothing all along, but maybe he rivered a straight, and then I went all in, and he snap folded. So best play was just inducing on the river. It's easy to fuck that hand up. It's easy to just bet like a normal size. And then the guy just always has nothing when he bets on Jack 7-5 and checks back to the 6 immediately. Always has nothing. And so, you know, he could have an 8. And so I bet tiny to induce a raise. And then I ship it and he had absolutely nothing. So I got some money from Phil Ivey, I think. And now it's time for my worst play. Just because I believe in balance. I have a yin and yang tattoo. So best play? Well, now it's time for my worst play. I have pocket aces. So I'm running hot on this night. And I open and Matt Vaughn 3-bets me. And he's going to 3-bet. I don't remember, you know, I've been playing 4 days in a row. And I don't remember the exact positions. Maybe he was button and I was cut off. And he's going to 3-bet a lot, whatever it was. And I 4-bet to $367. Which you can't do in a 5-5-10 game. But every other time I've been at the Sahara, it's 2-3 deep stack. And my favorite thing about that is you can bet in $1 increments. And it's just kind of fun. And anyways, it's when someone does something fancy with their chips, it's often a tell of strength. And I had obviously strength. And I both forgot what game we were playing. And I gave off a tell. Anyways, Matt called. $367. So we got over $700 in there, and he has a little less than pot behind, and it comes 5-3 deuce with a flush draw, and I just go all in like I would with all my ace highs, right? My ace king, my ace queen, my ace jack, because those are two overcards and a gut shot, or if I had a small pocket pair, and he has to call off if he has any of those ace hands, even though I'm blocking them, doesn't mean he doesn't have them, and he folds because he had something like probably like queen jack of spades or something. And so even though I repped correctly, theoretically I played the hand pretty well, it's so fucking bad to bet when there's only one pot size bet left. I can just check that turn, and if he turns a pair, you know, then I'm covered, right? I'm just then I get the money. I don't know. It was bad. It was bad preflop that I forgot what game we were playing. Usually it's a good idea to know what game you're playing. I did not when I went to 367. I just was like, oh my God, I'm at the fucking Sahara. I can bet in $1 increments because a lot of times the game is 2-3 with a 600 minimum. And I don't know. So I fucked that up. But I wasn't playing my best for good reason. I've been playing 4 nights in a row. And it's the last night of my trip in Vegas. And whatever. That's my worst play. I played the next hand pretty well. Queen 4 at clubs. It's a limper. And the flop comes king, queen, 5, and everyone checks, and I have second pair, and the turn is a deuce of clubs, and I just check. I have second pair plus flush draw, and Matt bets, that's Matt Vaughn, the vlogger, and folds back to me, and I call. You know, I have a great bluff catcher, and I have a flush draw, and the river is a 6, and I check, and he bets, and I was going to raise here because I have, you know, I have a 4 in my hand, and it's king, queen, 5, deuce. It's a limper, so I easily have 4-3 in my range, and the river's a 6. But I just sensed that he was strong. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. So I just folded my bluff catcher that I was going to turn into a bluff, if that makes sense. And the game is fucking insane. Aside from these hands I've told you about with Matt, it's just These guys at the other end of the table are just stuffing and stuffing and stuffing, getting 300 more and stuffing, and just the worst poker you've seen it since the boom, since the beginning of the boom. And Persuadio says he's just, you know, not loud enough for them to hear, and no one's listening anyways. They're all drinking and yelling and jamming. He says, why is it that we're playing 5-10 and it feels like 1 cent, 2 cent? And I'm sitting next to him. I said, there, you finally figured out the secret to live poker. And it's true. It's why you put a $300 buy-in on this game. It's why you call it 5-5 with a mandatory straddle. You get to play for real money, and you get to play against really bad play. And it's fucking poker is a soft hustle. It is. So you shouldn't feel bad about, you know, you shouldn't be predatory or shouldn't force people to play your game, but people are in the casino. You're competing with the fucking blackjack table where they're going to get shitty service. The fucking dealer is going to be a dickhead, entitled Vegas fucking employee, or they can play the other game that's going to be a rake fest. They don't know they can't win in that game. They actually can win in this game, and they're going to have fun, and you're going to drink with them and joke with them. And yeah, it's just, it's working. And this is the hustler game. This is the game I'm going to bring to the hustler, and it'll be the bridge. It'll be when they have the action in LA, the big action, they will. And a lot of it's going to be the Hustler Casino live stream fueling that. But the bridge, when they look back, will be this game, the Hustler game, the 300 to 1500 5-5 mandatory straddle, or 5-5-10 if you got to call it that. But it combines player pools, and yeah, and then yeah, you can get people that will be playing for money, and you'll be people that are there to punt, and then suddenly you'll have another player pool in the building, and you can start building bigger games, and then, you know, you just max out all your tables, and then it's done. It's a done project. Anyways, you know, I was telling Persuadi, I was just telling him, like, but seriously, man, that's why I wanted this buy-in to be 300 minimum. And at the Hustler, if you play 5-5, it's 300 to 1,000. So get everyone to add on the straddle, make it official, let them buy in for 500 more if they want, but don't force anyone to buy in for more if they don't want. And anyways, it's just, I don't know, it's just logical. And I was telling Persuadio, I said, man, I was playing at the Bellagio the night before, 5-10-20. It was mandatory 20. And we were playing 5-10-20, sometimes 5-10-20-40, sometimes 5-10-20-40-80. And you know what? I said, not one of those players would have played 10-20 no limit. And that's just always been the case. People will play 5-5-10, no problem. Will they play 5-10? Most of them won't. They'll play 5-10-20. No problem at all. They'll even put the 40 on, the 80 sometimes. Will they play 10-20 no limit? Fuck no. That shit's scary. It's just the way it is. So I raise with Queen Jack because that's a good hand. And people call because that's what they do. And it comes Jack 6, deuce, two-tone, two diamonds out there. I bet. I got top pair. I'm running good on this night, no doubt. And it's not the biggest game, but the money I'm winning spends anyways. And Jack 6, deuce, and I could have held against Matt when, how big was that pot? It was, what? No, so I had the math wrong. It was like 400 and something, and then maybe, it was like 2K out there, and I was 89%. I could have won that. Instead, I got my money back. So I could be up more, but also I got lucky against him early. And anyways, I raised Queen Jack, people call. It's a good game. Jack 6 deuce, great flop for my hand, two-tone. I bet Matt and someone else calls, not Black Gary calls. Turns an 8, I check. I just feel like they're going to fold. I would barrel here, and I didn't think either were very strong, and it's checked around, and the river's a 4, and now I'm going to polarize. I'm going to bet a lot like people do when they're bluffing, but I actually have top pair, and, you know, not the best kicker in the world, but a pretty good one, and yeah, I could lose. It's Jack 6, deuce, 8-4, and I have Queen Jack, so I bet a lot, and they both called, and my hand was good, and that was nice, and shout out to Matt Vaughn. Was really a cool dude. Just a young guy, has his shit together, good at poker, knows how to have fun though too. And check out his vlogs, or I don't know if he cares about that, but he has a vlog. And Yeah, the Hustler game was a success. And I'm thinking I'm going to L.A. soon, right? And the following week, I'll be going to L.A. And I'm going to talk to Sean Yaple, the general manager. And I wrote, this will be the bridge. It will. And go ahead and use this structure at your card rooms if you want. If there isn't like high stakes action, or if there isn't even games where you can beat the rake, go ahead and use this. 5-5 with a straddle, which is really 5-5-10, and then 300 to 1500. I combine for 300, I'm in. Okay. Anyways, 3 hours and I won a little over 2 lives. So I didn't play that long. I ran very well while I was there, all things considered, and I got a nice win. And now let's go cash out and we'll go check the STP scores at the Sahara Sportsbook real quick. All right, so walk with me to the podium, and this is where we're going to cash out. All right, here you go. Thank you. And good job on the drink service tonight. It was, the waitresses were great. Okay, now walk with me over to the sportsbook. And yeah, this place is nice. The Sahara is nice. I know sometimes people didn't want to go because the parking seems a little sketch, and that's fair, but the valet is open now, so you could just valet, and that's not sketch at all, and drink service is good, so I don't know. Anyways, here we are at the sportsbook, Sarah. Okay. If you look up there under the first line, well, you see NBA, NFL, all that shit no one cares about. They only care about the STP scores. No, but anyways, under STP, the first line says hours, 368 of 350. So after the plan was to play 50 weeks, 2 sessions a week, and 10 hours a week. And so after week 35, the pace is 350 hours. We're at 368. So I've played a little bit more than that. And also that makes sense because we had 357 hours after week 34, and I played 11 more in week 35. Three in that really easy session you just heard about. Partly I ran good, and that's a big part of it. And also partly we combined player pools. You got people that are going to dust their money in the casino, probably in the rake fest they can't beat ever, or sometimes in the pit, and they're playing in our game, having fun, drinking beers, joking, right? And that's the other reason it was so easy. So had a nice win for 3 hours of that game. Yeah, and I played 8 hours in the first session of the week. The one at Bellagio, the one that was 5, 10, 20, mandatory, and sometimes 40 and 80. And that was a very swingy session, as all the patrons already know. And here's the thing. If you want to hear about that swingy session, and you want all drops of sessions, you know, the weeks that I'm up in LA at the Hustler, doing my commentating for Hustler Casino Live, and I'm going to play my sessions at the Hustler because they're sponsoring me, and I'm going to make all those drops public, right? That's the deal. Well, those weeks you're going to get, even if you're not a patron, you'll get all the four drops. But normally you're only going to get two, and the patrons are going to get four. And all the like intimate details of my life and some swingy sessions are in those patron only drops. And the previous seasons, there are three other seasons of sessions are in there. And I've interviewed a bunch of really good people and great poker players and interesting people that have been around forever, like Jim Rankin. And anyways, all you got to do is go to patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer and sign up to become a patron for $4.22 a month or more. And that is not very big. $4.22 is just not that much money. And it's easy. You go on there, you sign up, boom, you're a patron. You get an email that says, hey, thank you. It's some shit I wrote. Hey, thank you for supporting my shit. I'll keep the content flowing. Also, here's how you connect your RSS feed. And it's like, oh, it's two steps. It's go back on Patreon and click this button, connect to my podcast player. Yeah, it's that easy. And you're in. You got all the content, you know, 700 drops or whatever. And then after your first payment goes through, if you want to be a part of this community I'm building, it's called DGAF Community, but it's not about me. I'm not fucking DGAF. That's just a screen name I chose for no goddamn reason way back in the day, and I got stuck with it. And I prefer to remain as anonymous as possible for several reasons, so I'm fucking DGAF. But DGAF Community, it's just people who support this content, and it's it's just a really cool thing. Everyone is exactly equal. No one's better or worse than anyone else. And you just got to be communal. You cannot be a fucking nit. If you're a nit, you will get fucking kicked out. But if you're not, you'll love it. And anyways, once you have your first payments gone through, you can just go to dgafcommunity.com and there's a forum. And you can create a screen name and a password and it'll let you in. And it's just like 2+2 without those fucking miserable nits. Yeah. And then there's many tiers. All that shit's on the Patreon page. And yeah. So now look, you know, we'll get out of here soon. But look, under STP, the second line under it says Poker Rag 795 of 644. So at the beginning of the year, I did some projections of what I needed. I almost didn't continue this podcast this year, even though I love podcasting, because it takes up everything. It takes all my time and energy. And so I set some goals. I said, well, I need to be able to play decent poker. I know I'm not going to play great until I can slow down. So I need to win. You know, I need to put in a decent amount of hours. And the second thing I need to do is my startup needs to show some growth, right? And so I set up a point system and the pace is 644 after week 35. But then I got smart and I had people join me as co-owners, and this line has taken off. So 795 of 644 is way ahead of pace, but also it's another slow week. Okay. And let's just hear who scored points for us in week 35, who the MVP was, and who got employee of the week. So if you look up there, you might be able to see it, but I'll just tell you, Anson in Fairview, Oregon, got us a point. Anson went on PokerRags.us, ordered something, and got a very comfortable item with a good message or vibe, whatever you want to call it, or good design, and put a point on the board. So did Jeff in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and that's a Patron. Shout out to Jeff. And so did, how do you say this? Seehang in Darmstadt, Germany. Sorry if I fucked up your name. Thank you for the order. Put a point on the board. Jimmy Donuts in Fairfield, California, put 2 points on the board. Joshua in Valencia, California, put 2 points on the board as well. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you, Jimmy Donuts. Joshua, I wrote a song called Valencia. I know that's interesting, but I did. Anyways, it might have been about something pretty... Yeah, whatever. It's time for... Can you guys chant? We're in the... Who cares? Can you guys chant MVP? And I'll tell you who won MVP, because it's really hard to see up there. Your week 35 most valuable purchaser is actually a shared award with 3 points each, which is, it's solid. It's solid numbers to put up on the board. In most weeks, it's not going to get you the MVP, but it did this week. It's two Patrons, and one is actually an owner of Poker Rags, and that's Jody Savage in Dirty Jersey, America. 3 points. Thank you, Jody. And Captain Baldbeard in Hampstead, North Carolina, also got 3 points. Thank you very much for those orders. Congrats on the co-MVP. And we got 13 points this week, so that's... We need to do better as a team at Poker Rags. And Employee of the Week, last time we had 12 points and no one got it. The Nevada Gaming Commission was like, get off your asses and work. And no one's getting Employee of the Week. Had nothing to do with me. I was a little shocked. But anyways, the Employee of the Week says Mike Trout, Binker. What does that mean? Mike Trout is someone, a patron. He's the most... generous patron. He's in many ways, he's a pillar of DGAF community. Sorry about that pop. But he just is. He's helped build this thing so much, and he's also an owner at Poker Rags. And so once every month or so, he organizes a tournament. It's a Poker Rags tournament in the community, and it's always for a good cause. And half of the prize pool goes to the good cause and half goes to whoever won, you know, or whoever got first, second, and third, or whatever, how many places it pays on DGAF home games, which is generally rake-free, you know, it's essentially rake-free poker. No one makes any money from it. There are some costs and then some money gets pooled to put someone in the World Series of Poker, whatever. But Mike Trout organizes this, and it was for the Hurricane Ida relief for some people, you know, who needed the money to rebuild or whatever. And I believe around $2,000 was raised. And so Nevada Game Commission recognized that. And I'm good. Even though it's a slow week for Poker Eggs, I'm good with Mike Trout getting the Employee of the Week for that. And thank you to everyone who, you know, put points on the board. It wasn't that many of you. And the MVPs, of course, you know, because when you buy something, not only do you get something really comfortable, really fucking comfortable, like so soft, you don't want to take it off. That's why it's a little more expensive than you might imagine. And it has, you know, stuff that has positive energy to it. Hashtag positivity. Anyways, you get that and you also put points on the board. And, you know, if we get enough points on this board, we're going to, you know, keep the pod going. And so if you want to do that too, well, I kind of butchered this part, but I'll be honest, I am sweating bullets in my granny flat right now. The man above decided I don't deserve air conditioning and makes you a little boozy. But anyways, what the fuck was I saying? We're not even in my granny flat. We're at the sportsbook in Sahara. My bad. If you want to put points on the board and get cool shit, go to pokereggs.us. Okay, moving on. Jesus. My bad. I hallucinated. I thought I was at my granny flat, but no, we're at the Sahara Sportsbook, obviously. Okay. Look up there. That STP. Look, the third line says results 78 of 71. So what does that mean? Well, I get 3 points for every session I win, and I lose 3 points for every session I lose. And I decided if I'm going to keep this podcast going, I need to be able to win 2 out of 3 sessions. I'm not going to be playing high. It's going to be very easy. And if I could play longer, I could win more sessions than that. But 2 out of 3, I need to be able to win 2 out of 3. I used to win 3 out of 4, like when I was like, you know, would play sober and long. I'm not doing that shit. Not right now. So I want to win 2 out of 3. And the pace of winning 2 out of 3, if you get 3 points for every win and lose 3 points for every loss, would be 71 at this juncture. We got 78. So that means I won not only this session you just heard about, which you already know about, but I won the one that the patrons heard about, that swingy as fuck 5, 10, 20, 40, 80 sometimes session at the Bellagio the night before. And that's 5 wins in a row. Not bad. That's how you bounce back from a little losing streak. You start running better. Sad but true. You do. You just start running better. Sure, you can try and plug a leak or two, but you just start running better, and then you start playing better once you start running better. And it's just how it goes. And this week's called Just Revving, because I am just revving the rest of the year. I've got my fire back for poker. 2017 was brutal. And it just burnt me all the way out on poker. I ran so bad. I didn't have any faith in the cards. Didn't give a shit. I thought everyone that won was a luck box. It can do that to you. And I played fairly uninspired ever since then, and focused more on the funny shit at the table, the characters. And I focused on the stuff I'm very passionate about, my kids and personal growth and mental health and that. And it's been a wild fucking ride the first 4 seasons of sessions. And I do have the fire back for poker. And next year's going to be about poker. I'm going to play higher. I'm going to be more focused. Yeah, it'll take a while, but it's going to happen. So the rest of this year, I'm just revving. I'm not going to play uninspired all the time, but I am going to play on fumes a lot. And I will rev. Like, some sessions I'll play really well. And next year I want to pounce. And anyways, I have 48 wins and 22 losses this year. So not bad at all. All right. The 4 score under STP, it says patrons 336 of 350. So we're not that far away. I also decided, okay, well, if I'm going to go this route of not having ads in my content, I need to get a certain amount of patrons. And I didn't want to do it. The more patrons, obviously, the bigger my monthly salary is. And I want my monthly salary to cover my monthly nut. And if it does, life gets good at that point. Then I'm just playing poker to pay off debt and build wealth. And it's going to be, you know, I'll always be able to play decent size stakes, and I'll be less stressed, and I'll be more funny, and all this shit that's going to happen. But I didn't want to set a goal around my salary, because the people that support my content are just fucking insanely generous. And I don't want them any of them to feel like they need to go higher than whatever they're already at. And so a lot of them do go to crazy amounts anyways, and I'm in no position to stop them. But I just want more strength in numbers, right? And so we're getting there. We were way behind pace for a while, but something is working. And let's see what happened in this week. Just a kind of a slow week, but not horrible. PAX signed up for $5.50 a month. Thank you, PAX. That's 4 points on the board. Chillin signed up. Someone that was signed up before signed up again. It's $16.88. Thank you, Chillin. And $16.88 gets you everything, pretty much. It gets you the forum. It gets you Slack. It gets you into these poker games with people who support my content. Essentially rake free. You know, Check Raise Charles is going to go play the main event, and everyone's going to have a piece of him. And that's from the rake generator. You can have tiny rake in tiny games and generate a lot of money. So that should tell you about what these big games with huge rake are generating. And that's going to be awesome. And other people are, I have to do the accounting on that, but I think other people are going to play some small tournaments, you know, on the house, just whatever was collected. I don't make a penny off of the home games. I don't want to. It's illegal, and I don't want to anyways. And then, anyways, thank you, Chillin, for coming back. And someone deleted. It's fine. It's -4. And then Andrew Savage signed up for $27.77. Andrew Savage is definitely the youngest patron. And I believe he's 7 years old. And that's Jody and Trevor's youngest. And he's great. And that's great. And you'll learn in next week's drops why he felt inclined to sign up. His mom and dad are already huge supporters, and I think you'll understand why he decided to do it. Probably in Monday or Tuesday's drop, it'll be revealed. Maybe just Monday's drop. Yeah. It's a pretty funny story. It involves flipping a 47-year-old and a 7-year-old flipping, and the 7-year-old punishing the 47-year-old. Go figure. And so we got 8 points. 4 for PAX, 4 for Chillin'. Someone deleted, that's -4, and Andrew Savage, 4. Okay. And now, the fifth score, the bottom score up there under STP, it's a consolidation of the four scores above it, and it's called Countdown to 2022. Because if we get to 2022 points total by December 19th of this year, that's the deadline, Sessions lives on in the year 2022. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. Sometimes you got to do that. You got to say, podcasting is my passion. It takes all my energy. I need it to at least do these things for me to continue. It looks like it probably will, because it says 1577 of 1415. So the pace is 1415 right now, and we're at 1577, and we need less than 500 points to get there for the rest of the year. And that means we're more than on pace, and we're 70% of our way through the journey. That's pretty nuts. Right, you set out to play 100 sessions, 50 weeks, 2 sessions each, and we're already done with week 35, and we're done with 70 of the sessions. All right, so before we say our goodbyes, and you know, go to valet. You want a valet? I self park at Sahara. I ain't scared, but I understand why people wouldn't want to. And just valet. It's open. Yeah, go there. Ask for out of position. That's Persuadio. He'll hook you up with a game. He'll get your email. He'll let you know. I can't tell you how only paying $5 a half hour, how important that is to any poker player, a winning player or a losing player. It's huge. Anyways, before we say goodbye and we head our separate ways, I want to give a special thanks to everyone who's put points on the STP scoreboard, the Save the Princess scoreboard this far in this Make or Break Season 4. And an extra special thanks to all the patrons, of course, for their continued support. You all are something. And I'll see all the patrons on Monday. I guess I'll see everyone on Monday because it's a hustler week. That means they're all going to be public. So I'll see everyone for week 36 of season 4 of Sessions titled The Hustler. And so every week I go up there. I'm going to put out 4 public drops about my adventures. I'm not going to bullshit. If like things aren't great, I'll call it as it is, because I know things are going to become great with that management. And yeah, anyways, doesn't matter if you're a patron or not. If you typically listen to sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, it doesn't matter. I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. Sound guy, let's go get a drink, man. I hope you enjoyed this drop of sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know, we're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm gonna need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Cause otherwise.